بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are talking about Salah as the basic of Islam, as the proof and evidence of our Iman. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned Salah and he said, he called Salah Miftahul Jannah. He said Salah is the key to Jannah. What does it mean? It means two things. Firstly, it means that Jannah is locked. It is not open. If it is open, why does he need a key? So, it is locked. Second thing is that you have been given a key and you can get in only if you use the key. If somebody has a key in their hand, they stand before the door won't open. And if you just show the key, as I have the key, doesn't matter. You have to use the key, then the door will open. Simply having the key in your hand does not mean the door will not open. The door will open only if you use the key. The Sahaba understood this, and the Sahaba used this Salah as a actual resource. They use the Salah to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They use the Salah for peace of mind. They use the Salah to solve their problems. If there was no rain, they prayed for rain. Think about that. What is Salatul Istisqa? Prayer for rain. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not show people some kind of magic to do. No, he said Salah. You pray this Salah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. For everything, when there is an eclipse, there is a Salah. In the night, there is a Salah to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Salah is a resource to be used. Also, Salah is something that is the head of the matter. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used the Salah as an example for everything. When Jibreel alayhi salam asked him about Ihsan, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the example of Salah. He said, pray as if you can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? At the end of his life, to indicate who should be his successor, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used Salah. He gave imamat of Salah to Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. The Sahaba understood this. Yeah, with the Sahaba, there was no conflict. And that is why Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu was accepted as the Khalifa, as Khalifa to Rasulullah after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already indicated that this is the man he wanted. And how did he do that? He didn't give a document, he didn't write it down, he didn't announce it, he didn't make a khutbah. He gave the Salah, the imamat of Salah to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu. And it got reinforced the one time in that period between the Thursday and the Monday when Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu led Salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated very clearly that the imam is only Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu and nobody else. And use Salah as the way of understanding. The Sahaba understood this because for the Sahaba, the Salah was, as I said, the head of the matter. Whoever leads the Salah is the leader of the community. You can't have two different people. The whole concept of paying an imam being an employee, is a modern concept. It is not the case at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The imam was the head of the community. The imam was the Nabi himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the imam was the Khalifa, or the imam was the, if there was a tribe, the imam was the leader or the head of the tribe. This imam, if you're paying a salary for the imam, this is a modern. I'm not saying it is haram. I'm just saying that this is not from the sunnah. Let us put it, I'm not saying it's a sin, I'm not saying it is, no, you do what you have to do, but the fact of the matter is that this is not a sunnah, and nobody can show that it's a sunnah, because it's not a sunnah. And that is why the imam had the authority. Today you are paying the imam a salary. Who has the authority? You have the authority. He has no authority. He is doing what you are telling him to do. And we see this in many masajid. We see the people at the back, the people in authority in the masjid, they dictate to the imam how fast he must recite, how slow he must recite, how long he must recite, what he must recite, what he must not recite, make dua, don't make dua. Everything is on the hukum of the thakurs of the masjid. The committee members and so on and so on. They are the ones who decide. Do you think somebody could have said to Abubakar Siddiq, now you are deciding too fast, do it slowly, you are deciding too slowly, do fast. Do you think this happened? It doesn't happen. Because he was the imam, meaning he was the head of the community. He was the one who gave the orders, not somebody else to him. But that's because we have lost the meaning of salah. Salah is also a model for us to live our whole life. It starts with tahara. It's purity. Purity of the body, purity of the place, purity of the heart, tazkiyatu nafs. Yeah, salah is not only a question of wudu. Wudu is the external purity. What about the internal purity? It starts with that. Then it starts with standing in a saf, shoulder to shoulder, no racism, no differentiation on the basis of wealth, no caste, no creed, no high caste or high status and low status. Everybody standing in saf. In the same saf, together, shoulder to shoulder, touching. Then following an imam, not doing your own thing. Following the imam. You make ruku when the imam makes ruku. You make sujood when the imam makes sujood. If the imam is making ruku and you do not make ruku, your salah is gone. If the imam has made sajda and you make sajda with the imam, then the imam gets up from sajda. You are still in sajda because you have this great khushu with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wallahu alam, and the imam goes into the second sajda. You are still in the first sajda, your salah is gone. So you follow the imam, you do what the imam does. If the imam is going into sajda, you go into sajda first and you go before the imam, your salah is gone. All of this is to teach us discipline, it is to teach us the importance of time, it is to teach us the togetherness and the oneness of being a Muslim, the brotherhood of Islam, the brotherhood of faith. The following of somebody in authority. Who is the one who is supposed to lead salah? The one who knows the most Quran, the one who is most on the sunnah, the person who is older. You know, the ways of in which somebody has superiority to lead salah is connected again with the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's connected again with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Salah is not led by the wealthiest person in the community or by the one who has the most expensive car, no. So salah is giving us a whole framework of how to lead our lives. So when we go out of the masjid, what do? We take the salah with us. So we stood in the masjid in a state of equality with everyone. So when you go out in the masjid, what do? If that is changing, when we go out of the masjid, now all my status and caste and creed and my takabbur and my arrogance, and if all of this is coming back, then it means the salah has been wasted. Because all of this you throw away here, you came. Then when you go back out, you do those things, where is the salah working? That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Think about this. Allah did not say, verily the salah connects you with Allah. No. The salah connects you with Allah, of course. But the point is, Allah is not saying that. Allah is saying the salah separates you from the fahushat and munkarat. It saves you, it separates you, it protects you from all things which are shameless and all things of disobedience. What does it mean? Allah is showing us the pathway to connect with Him. How can you connect with Allah when your life is filled with disobedience of Allah, when your life is filled with all kinds of shamelessness, with your life is filled with all kinds of rebelliousness? How is it? How you cannot connect. So Allah is saying, you clear this up first, automatically you will connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no point in talking about connecting with Allah when you are not prepared to do what comes before. Today we want success in life, but we cannot pray 2 rakat of salah. Salatul Fajr in the masjid, you don't pray. But you want success in life. How is it going to happen? Tell me. I mean, say, fooling yourself is fine, go ahead. But that does not change reality. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Salah is, this is the one of the problems that we have today, is that we have taken the tool to be the purpose. The maqsad, the ibadah is not the maqsad. The ibadah is the tool that takes us somewhere. So, the maqsad or the purpose of salah is what? Tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Salah is not an action by itself. It is to do something. Like fasting, for example. We'll come to that tomorrow, inshallah. There is a reason. Why are you fasting? Why are you praying? There is a reason. What is that reason? Tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. This is what the salah is supposed to do. To separate you from fahushat and munkarat. You're praying 5 times salah. You are praying it in the masjid. You are building masajid. You are supporting masajid and madaris. Alhamdulillah, all very good work. But your income is haram. Your income has interest in it. So how is this going to... Tell me, I mean, where is this tanha anil fahshai wal munkar? Where is it happening? You're praying 5 times salah, but your income is haram. You're eating, your food is haram. Or at least it is doubtful. You are not eating haram deliberately, but you don't care one way, whatever comes. Your life is full of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is ostentation, there is showing off, there is this, there is that, it's all coming. I don't want to make one long list of, we know what we are doing. Then where is this salah? How is this salah working for you? Tell me, how do you think this salah will work for you? How do you think we can go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, how shameless is that? We are eating haram. There's a hadith, alhamdulillah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life is full of examples. There is no need to go anywhere for it. A man came, he's praying, he's making dua. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, how will Allah accept his dua? This man's clothes are haram. His food is haram. He knew the person. He said, clothes haram meaning what? Meaning what he's earning is haram. So what he's wearing is he bought it from his earnings. He says his clothes are haram, his food is haram. How will Allah accept his dua? I remind myself and you, let us stop fooling ourselves. The deen is clear. The kalam of Allah is clear. The teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are clear. We will not be able to go and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, I'm sorry, it was not clear, I was confused. No. We cannot say that, because if I am confused, then I have decided to be confused. That's a different matter. But the confusion, there is no cause for it. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear, and He sent His Nabi alayhi salam who made it clear. He taught it, He demonstrated it. Now, despite that, if I say I don't understand, then this doesn't work. Let us be clear in our minds. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this beautiful resource, this extremely powerful resource. Let us work on it. Let us practice it. Let us get that into our lives. And then let us use it to open the life of this dunya and to open the door of Jannah, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the salah miftahul jannah for all of us, inshallah. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.